For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Falcoholics. What is up? Welcome to another episode of the Dirty Birds of Brews podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Knight, at Falcoholic. Kevin, here to bring you a fantasy-themed episode for the Falcons. As you guys know, I play a lot of fantasy. I'm in a lot of dynasty leagues. I do a lot of that stuff. But mostly on the channel, we talk about, you know, just the Falcons in general with a couple of fantasy quips here and there. But I thought it would be fun in the dead zone to kind of give you guys my thoughts on the Falcons fantasy players, the fantasy relevant guys, the ones that I think that I'm going to personally target, which I'm sure some of you will promptly use this information against me in the Falcoholic patron leagues and stuff like that. That's fine. You know, it's whatever. That's what you have to do, right? We're going to just deliver this information to the people. But yeah, I've got, I'm going to list out the top five guys that I like, but also just talk about sort of the main fantasy relevant Falcons as well. And mostly focus on the guys that I think are really good value at their current ADP, which for those that are newer to fantasy, that's average draft position, which is, I'm using Fantasy Pros numbers, a site that I do like, not an advertisement, I just like Fantasy Pros. So you can check out more in-depth stuff there. And all of this, all the numbers I'm going to quote are going to be based on full PPR, not super flex, because there's not enough data on that yet. But, you know, just standard otherwise, but PPR scoring. So we'll get into that. We'll talk about some of the guys that I really like. And we will dive into that in just a second real quick. Want to bring you a real quick word from today's sponsor, BetOnline.ag. Folks, BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, including baseball, golf, soccer, right up to the top fights, UFC, MMA, and boxing. Of course, the NBA and NHL ended pretty promptly, so no more of that for a bit. But you can get in on all the other summer sports as we get ready for the NFL coming up here in just a little over 2 months, right? So it's coming. But what's going on now, you can get every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And when the game's over, head on over to BetOnline's online casino. You can get in on a game of online blackjack, online poker, or unwind with one of their over 150 slots games. So what are you waiting for, folks? Head to that website today or get in on the action, rather. Use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. All right, so top five guys we're going to focus on today. You know, I'm going to focus on sort of my favorite ones. You know, you could talk about what's the best value and so on and so forth, and who are the guys you really want. I'm sure you guys know many of like the two top guys in Bijan Robinson and Drake London. We're going to actually wait to talk about them because you're basically drafting them at their ceiling, which means that, you know, Bijan Robinson right now is their RB2 in drafts. So you're drafting him at that price with a top 10, you know, first round pick. Basically, like, there's no way for him to out, like, you can't really outperform that pick. You can justify that pick, right? By, you know, being in that range, but there's not a lot of upside there because you're the second running back off the board. So you're expected to be one of the best running backs. And Drake London's similar, except a little bit further down. He's wide receiver 10, but he's typically going in the top 15 of most PPR leagues. And again, it's just like the upside isn't necessarily there. So it's not the best value, but those are the two guys, obviously, that everyone is going to be circling if you're a Falcons fan, if you're not a Falcons fan, as like the two guys that are probably going to come off the board first. But let's talk about some of the other guys. One of the first ones we'll start with is Kyle Pitts. I really do like Kyle Pitts. I have liked Kyle Pitts for years. I didn't really draft Kyle Pitts much last year. It just didn't work out. Like his price tag just didn't work. And I've usually gone for like a pretty tight end heavy focus. Like I will take a Travis Kelce or something like that. And that's typically worked out well for me. Last year was a little bit, you know, didn't work out super well because Kelce wasn't quite as dominant, but I typically take an early tight end. And this year there's like a group of tight ends that I think are really good and really good values. Right now, Kyle Pitts is the tight end 6. He's going about 60th overall. So depending on if you're 10 or 12 leagues, you know, that's right around the 5-6 turn or so. Kyle Pitts, I think, has a great opportunity to outperform tight end 6. And I think drafting him here, as opposed to like the last couple of years where you were drafting him as like tight end 3 or 4 pretty aggressively, you know, I think like this is a little bit safer of a spot to grab Kyle Pitts. And I think he has a much better chance of actually outperforming this selection. You know, we'll see how it goes, but the last time Kyle Pitts had a good quarterback and a good offensive system around him, he was a very good player in both fantasy and real football. And I think this is the year where he's going to finally get that featured role and be healthy enough and have the quarterback. And I think if that all comes together, Kyle Pitts could challenge to be the number one tight end. And I'm not sure that he will get there, but if he's even, you know, tight end 2 or tight end 3, you're getting good value on this pick. And a dominant tight end, if he is used more like a wide receiver and has that high volume, especially in a PPR league, which is typically what I play, like he could be a game changer for you each and every week. So that's why he's kind of my number one guy that I'm focusing on. You know, not necessarily the best value, quote unquote, but I think his upside is potentially tight end 1. I think he could be in that conversation by the end of the year if he's utilized the way that we think he could and should be. The next guy that we'll talk about, Kirk Cousins. And you know, Kirk Cousins last year was on a top 10 fantasy pace, as well as being considered, I think, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL for the 8 games that he played. He was averaging like nearly 20 points per game through his 8 starts before his injury. He ended up still finishing quarterback 24, even though he played less than half the season. So, you know, he was on a very hot pace with the Vikings. And do the Falcons have as favorable a fantasy system for their quarterback as the Vikings? You know, probably not, right? The Vikings are pretty pass heavy offense. They do let Kirk really air it out a lot, and of course he had Justin Jefferson to throw the ball to, so that does help. But I don't really think, I think this is a good fantasy environment for Kirk Cousins. You know, we saw, if this is a similar system to the Rams, Matthew Stafford, very quality quarterback, and right now Kirk Cousins is going as the quarterback 18, 118th overall. Now this is not super flex, so if you're in super flex, he's going to go a lot higher than this, but ultimately, he's probably going to still be quarterback 18 one way or another, right? So I think Kirk Cousins is a tremendous, like, if you're going to wait on a quarterback, you could wait a long time and get Kirk Cousins as your starter and be pretty happy. I think if you're looking for a second quarterback that's got really good ability to be a high scorer, I think Cousins can absolutely be that for you if you're playing super flex or if you just want a really solid backup, because we did see a lot of quarterback injuries last year, right? I think Cousins could definitely outperform QB 18 without too much trouble. Like, I think at the end of the year, he's probably going to finish like maybe QB 12, right? And that's significant in terms of points. And I think he could be more of a difference maker week to week, especially with, you know, some of the high powered offenses the Falcons are going to play. Throw the ball, you know, they're aggressive. And if that's the case, I think Cousins will have the opportunity to make some plays and get some points on the board for this team. And, you know, we'll see how, you know, there's some uncertainty with it, right? But when you're buying in on Cousins at quarterback 18, it's not a significant risk, right? This is a pick in the hundreds in non-superflex leagues. It's just, it's a very low risk pick. And I think the upside of him being, you know, a QB1 essentially for 12 team leagues or more than that, even, you know, I think it's definitely worth the pick. So that's why he's my number two guy in terms of Falcons targets. The third guy I'll talk about is one that I think is super underrated overall and is more or less, you know, just he's not going to cost you much of anything, right? That's Darnell Mooney. He's wide receiver 69, going 146th overall. And look, there's a lot of uncertainty with Mooney's role, right? The role is unclear. If this is, you know, and I think people are just terrified that the Falcons are just not going to have fantasy relevant receivers because they haven't. Outside of Drake London, for the past several years, it was Drake London and nobody else really was fantasy relevant. And I think people are sort of remembering that and not necessarily putting enough stock in Darnell Mooney getting a $13 million a year contract. The Falcons not really having any other proven wide receivers on the roster. And like Mooney, you know, I think there's a couple ways this could go, right? If it's similar to the Rams offense, he's probably going to be the third target behind, you know, Drake London and Kyle Pitts in terms of the passing game. Bijan is probably going to be up there in that contention as well. You know, he could possibly be a boom bust guy that's going to be the deep threat, but I think they have a more versatile role for him in mind. You know, he could play outside and in the slot, so he's not necessarily restricted to just certain packages. I think like he could easily be a top 50 wide receiver. Like, I mean, I think he could probably be a top 40 wide receiver if this passing game is as good as we think. So there's a lot of potential for Mooney to be a huge value. Do I think he's going to be like a game changing number one wide receiver that's going to like define your fantasy team? No, but you need to get some of these guys that you could throw in your lineup as a good flex. I think in best ball, I would definitely go for Darnell Mooney, maybe even earlier than his ADP, because I think those boom weeks for Mooney could be really good. I think he could definitely way outperform his price. It's just he's so cheap at this stage. I just don't see really any reason not to take the chance at this stage in the draft. I mean, the guys are drafting around him. I mean, I have a hard time seeing those guys outperform Mooney, assuming he gets his role. And if Drake London or Kyle Pitts or anybody has to miss time, you know, Mooney's going to ascend into a much bigger role. I mean, they didn't give him that money for nothing, right? And I think the Falcons are going to throw the ball and they're going to throw it more accurately than they have for years. Like, this could all work out. To Mooney finishing maybe is like even a wide receiver three type guy, like a top 40 receiver when it's all said and done. And that's a valuable piece if you could pick him up for the price of a top 150 pick, right? So definitely keep an eye on Mooney. He's my number three guy that I would watch. And then in terms of the other guys, I would add, it's the two main names, right? The first one being Bijan Robinson. You know, you're paying a top 10 pick for Bijan more than likely. He's the second running back off the board in PPR leagues right now. He's the third in non-PPR behind Breece Hall. You know, we'll see what happens there. But you're drafting, like, the reason he's not higher is because you're drafting Bijan with the expectation that he is a top fantasy back. And there's not really any way for him to outperform that unless he just outperforms Christian McCaffrey, which I think that's a lot to ask, right? But if he's on McCaffrey's level as like that dominant bell cow running back, he's absolutely worth a top 10 pick. There just aren't that many of those guys anymore. And we know that this is similar to the Rams, again, with Kyren Williams, Bijan's going to have 80% or like of the backfield share. He's going to catch most of the passes. He's going to get most of the runs. If the offense is more efficient, that's only going to help him. You know, this could be a guy that is one of those transcendent, you know, league winning fantasy players. There's just not the value upside with him, which is why he's a little bit further down my list. But I do think that Bijan is a very good fantasy add. He's the running back that I'm good at. If you're not picking first overall, you're not getting Christian McCaffrey, right? So if you're looking for a running back in the top seven, top 10, I would be going for Bijan. I prefer him to Breece Hall. I do think Breece Hall is good, but I don't necessarily see it the same way in terms of, I mean, I think Bijan has the potential to be a lot better. So I'm definitely happy with Bijan. You know, him being fourth here doesn't mean that he's not good. He's just not necessarily going to be a steal necessarily, unless he's just like a, you know, 2,000 yard player or something, like 2,000 yard rush or something absolutely nuts, which could theoretically happen, but I wouldn't bank on any of that stuff happening. Instantly, pleasantly surprised Bijan returns that kind of investment for you. Moving on to the fifth player, also already talked about him in Drake London, right? And again, for the same reasons as Bijan, Drake London, you're sort of drafting at his ceiling, right? He's going as the wide receiver 10, 13th overall. And like London, I think is unlike, like I think Bijan you know, I wouldn't consider him like a high, he is a high floor player and a high ceiling player, but when you're drafting him at RB2, it's like, wow, you have to be elite, or that, like, people are going to be like, wow, he wasn't worth this pick, you know, so on and so forth, whatever. With London, wide receiver 10, I feel like he's more in the range of, like, this is like about where he should go. Like, you're not really speculating on him being too crazy, but, like, also, he could be one of the top wide receivers in the league this year if that connection with Kirk is as good as we think it is, and he continues to dominate targets and get more accurate targets, and the Falcons score more touchdowns and that sort of thing. Like, London, you know, I think Bijan is definitely the favorite to be, like, the best Falcons fantasy football player this year, but I think London is probably number two and could easily be number one. And we've seen London be dragged down by bad quarterback play for years. He's going to be the focal point of the passing game. He's the most reliable guy. He can do all kinds of stuff. He can play the Puka role for this team if that's what they want him to do, where he can play in the slot or outside. He can block, all that good stuff, and just be a focal point of the offense. You know, I think he has the highest floor. Like, I think this, like, going at wide receiver 10, it's not a great value, but I think you could be pretty certain when you take Drake London that you're getting a guy, at least in terms of his projection, that, like, he's going to be able to match something like this draft slot. You don't have to worry too much about, this is a risky pick, this is a speculative pick. No, I think, given what we know, this is a good spot for him to go. It's a fair value, and I think the risk profile isn't necessarily there. Like, I think this is a pretty safe pick. It's kind of a, like, you just feel good about it. You're not, like, jumping up and down like you got some kind of steal. And look, if you see Drake London, like, in the 20s or something, yeah, run out and do it. Obviously, this is just based on average draft position, but Drake London is definitely someone I'm going to target in the second round of drafts, and if he's there, I'll be happy, but I'm not necessarily going to run out to overdraft at that point. You know, I think wide receiver 10 is about where he should go, so I do think he deserves a place in the top five fantasy targets for the Falcons, without question, because the only other two guys that I think are relevant for fantasy for the Falcons at this stage, one of them is Tyler Allgeier, and I know, you know, basically right now he's free, right? He's running back 50, 160 overall. And the reason for that is, like, he's not going to have standalone value this year, I don't think. I don't believe they're going to carve out a role for Allgeier by himself. He will be sort of the player who spells Bijan, might have some, you know, short yardage work. I kind of doubt it. The Rams didn't really do that. They basically gave Kyren Williams as much as he could handle. Allgeier will play some, and I think he's certainly got touchdown upside. He's a very good pass protector. You're drafting Allgeier as a stash or a handcuff if you have Bijan, and there's a lot of, you know, research that maybe drafting handcuffs not really worth it, that sort of thing, but a lot of people still like to do it because it feels like you have some security. If your, like, top 10 pick goes down, you have the guy, like, already on your roster that is ready to step in. He just doesn't have standalone value. That's the only thing. So I still do handcuffs sometimes, even though the analytics say maybe don't bother, but I still like to do it. He's basically free going, like, 160th overall, and if Bijan does have to miss time, hopefully he will not, he's going to have a huge role, and he's going to be a big-time fantasy player. Like, he could have RB1-type weeks when he's, like, playing if Bijan's not on the field. So Allgeier could be very close to a big role, to a big fantasy season if he has to play. That's part of the reason he's not going to get traded. He's not going to go anywhere because the Falcons don't want the running game to fall apart if Bijan has to miss any time. And so I definitely recommend Allgeier as a stash or a handcuff if you have a deep league, right, where you could carry, you know, some extra running backs. Allgeier is one of those good speculative sort of ads where it's like, you know, you've got a lottery ticket basically if Bijan has to miss any time. Maybe he can get you through some bye weeks or things like that, you know, and we'll see if a role does develop for him where he's got some kind of standalone value. Even last year when the Falcons rotated both guys, it really just sort of killed both their values. You know, Bijan was still a good fantasy player, but Allgeier just sort of vultured some touches away from him and made his fantasy case weaker, and Allgeier just rarely got the volume or the efficiency to, like, justify playing him. So I still think he's a worthy stash, a worthy draft, but I would temper your expectations for Allgeier providing value outside of Bijan missing time, essentially. I don't think he's got, like, what he had, you know, a couple years ago where he might be a guy that you could play week to week if you needed, like, a fill-in or a flex guy. I think he's probably not going to give you that level of starting ability unless, again, Bijan misses time, which hopefully we won't have to have this conversation at all. But, you know, having a guy like Allgeier behind him, always nice. And then the other guy that I want to touch on, even though he's probably going to be undrafted in most leagues, Casey Washington. I picked him up in all my dynasty leagues. And it's speculative, right? Because Casey Washington has been the star of OTAs, been the star of rookie minicamp, all this stuff. You know, he's clearly rising up the depth chart. I think at this point, he looks like a roster lock, which, again, when you draft a receiver, you expect him to make the roster, but most late-round picks don't necessarily consider themselves roster locks. I think in Casey Washington's case, he's probably... It's not so much like, is he going to make the roster? It's like, is he going to make his way onto the field? Because, you know, at this point, I think he could go as high as wide receiver 3, like, theoretically. I don't think he's passing Drake London. I don't think he's passing Darnell Mooney. Could he pass Rondale Moore? Maybe. Maybe. I think that's unlikely, but it could happen. Could he? And then it's like, all he has to do is pass Ray McLeod, who the team does seem to like, and Kadarius Hodge, who I'm kind of expecting to be the guy they keep for special teams work and that sort of thing. And Hodge's versatile, can play inside, outside. So I think at this point, like, Casey Washington might be passing Hodge on the depth chart and being like wide receiver 5. But can he get any higher? That's the big question. And like his rookie year, it's going to be hard for him to do that. But
for the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He's getting all the hype. I think he's basically free. So if you're in a deep league, if you're in a dynasty league, so on, and you've got space, pick him up, stash him, see what he can give you. Monitor what's going on in camp and preseason closely, because he could get his way onto the field this year. Obviously, if injuries strike, you know, he could take on a bigger role. Will he be fantasy relevant really this year? I kind of think that's a pretty dubious proposition. You know, I think this is very speculative. This is more of a dynasty sort of thing, or if you've got keepers or that sort of thing, you know, maybe that could be an option. But you know, the only way for him to like really come and be like super fantasy relevant is injuries, or if he has like that miraculous sort of Puka Nacua type emergence, which I don't think that's realistic, because we're probably not going to get another Puka ever. You're not anytime soon, certainly. But could he be someone that like could be a flex for you occasionally if he does take on the role as like the wide receiver 3? There could be enough passing volume in this offense that maybe that wide receiver 3 in Atlanta could be fantasy relevant. Typically, I mean, you're probably not loving it, but we'll just to see how he develops. So this is the time of year, though, like if you've got room on your roster, if it's a deep bench league, or if it's a league where, like, you know, there's just so many players available that you just would rather take speculative guys because you could get sort of those fill-in guys on the waiver wire without any problems, you could pick up Washington. And that way, if he has a great camp in preseason and has that sort of like miraculous Puka sort of ascendance, then you got him. You could just hold him. And if it looks like he's not going to play come week one, you could just drop him, or you could wait a couple of weeks and move on. You know, I think he's a good guy to add. He's the last one I would say, even though he's basically undrafted, I think would be worth a consideration for your fantasy league. And we'll see if anything comes of it. But I do like his upside. I certainly like hearing that he's been working his way up the depth chart. That's always a nice thing to hear. So those are my fantasy Falcons fantasy targets, guys. My top five, one last time. Kyle Pitts, number 1. Kirk Cousins, number 2. Darnell Mooney, number 3. And then we had Bijan Robinson, number 4. And Drake London, number 5. Also, we touched on Tyler Allgeier, Casey Washington. Just talking about the other guys that I think are typically getting drafted or should be considered in your drafts. I don't really think anyone else is really worth considering. I mean, I would put like Rondale Moore in that sort of similar range to Casey Washington, where like if you're looking for a speculative ad, the team has talked up Rondale Moore too, so he could be somebody to consider. I don't think like Charlie Werner's going to get anywhere near. This isn't like Arthur Smith where there's like 2 fantasy relevant tight ends. Most teams can't do that. So I wouldn't consider Werner at this stage unless we see him playing, you know, a significant passing game role. And Michael Penix, I know, is the other one, especially like in Dynasty, of course, if you're having rookie drafts, Michael Penix, even if you're not, you know, if you're playing Superflex, maybe you would consider stashing Michael Penix. I think the chances of him playing more than like a game or two this year are basically 0. So it's purely a future focused pick if you're in Dynasty leagues. You know, I like Michael Penix, and I, of course, would love to have the Falcons' future franchise quarterback, because that's what he's going to be, right? I hope so. On the roster. But, like, to me, I don't want to be the guy that's taking a quarterback that I'm going to have to sit on my taxi squad or whatever for 2 years before I see him. I'd rather let someone else do that and let me get guys that I can act and maybe play to play them or not, you know, so on and so forth. I just don't like having to like sit on a guy for a while before I get to see what he does. Like, I'd rather have players that I can move around. So I don't think it's a bad idea to draft Penix in Dynasty, particularly if your quarterback situation is good and you're just looking to have like a speculative guy, someone you could stash for a year or two and just keep the good times rolling. But yeah, I'm probably not going to be the guy to do that. I don't like having guys that I have to purposefully sit for years that just have very little upside. Now with Penix, of course, if Cousins does miss time, he's going to play. But again, then he's just a rookie quarterback and you don't know really what you're going to get in terms of how good that's going to be. So keep that in mind too. But in terms of future focus, dynasty type stuff, yeah, Michael Penix absolutely in the mix as well. But yeah, that's the top Falcons to monitor for your fantasy teams. I'm going to be trying to get Kyle Pitts, Kirk Cousins, Darnell Mooney as much as I can. So, you know, if you're in the Falcoholic Fantasy Leagues, which you can join by joining up on Patreon with us or join the YouTube channel memberships, you know, you're going to have to really get aggressive for those guys. Now, we're going to have a battle royale to see who drafts Kyle Pitts in the Falcons. I'm sure that he's going to go in like the second round, you know, just because. But in most of your leagues, you're going to be able to get these guys probably close to their ADP and get good value, I think. But if you're playing with a bunch of Falcons fans, just remember, these Falcons players are going to go earlier than the ADP suggests. If you're playing with a bunch of other just random people, they'll probably last. So keep that in mind. But thank you guys so much for tuning into the Dirty Birds and Brews podcast. Of course, we got shows coming to you. We got on Wednesday, the next part of our make or break players for the Falcons series. We're going to be talking about the defense on Wednesday with our newest contributor with the Falcoholic, Jamel Johnson. So stay tuned for that. And then we are going to be starting our Falcons roster preview series as we get geared up for training camp next month, starting with the offense, quarterback, running back, and so on, going into that. And then we'll be going from there as we get through this dead period with some fun stuff. I hope you enjoyed the fantasy talk. I know a lot of people don't play fantasy football, but I figured I had to do at least one fantasy show. It's the dead period, right? You know, even if you don't play fantasy, maybe it was interesting to you to talk about some of the more data-driven stuff there. I find it, you know, fascinating. I find it kind of interesting and fun. We hope you'll sign up and join our fantasy leagues if you're looking to get involved in that. Those are a lot of fun too. Like, subscribe, leave us that 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice if you're so inclined. We will be back, like I said, on Wednesday for the next episode of Falcoholic Live. Until then, guys, thank you for watching Dirty Birds and Brews. I'm Kevin Knight of Falcoholic. Kevin, have a great day, folks.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.